The fifth illusion, the illusion of requirement, may be used to experience that there is nothing you have to do to know and experience who you really are. Only by doing those things that you imagine you are required to do to make life work can you come to a complete knowing that none of it is necessary. Ask those among you who are very old. Ask those who have danced the dance and toed the line and obeyed the rules. They will give you their advice in three words. Disobey the rules. They will not hesitate about this. Their counsel will be quick and clear. Color outside the lines. Don't be afraid. Listen to your heart. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. At the end of your life, you will know that nothing you have done will matter, only who you have been while you have done it. Have you been happy? Have you been kind? Have you been gracious? Have you been caring and compassionate and considerate of others? Have you been generous and sharing and, most of all, have you been loving? You will see that it is who you have been, not what you have done, that matters to your soul. And you will see that it is your soul, after all, that is who you are. Yet the illusion of requirement, the idea that there are things you must do, can serve to motivate your mind while you are with your body. It is useful as long as you understand at some level that it is an illusion. And that nobody has to do anything that they don't want to do. For most people, this truth is both incredibly freeing and incredibly frightening. The fear is that if human beings were really allowed to do only what they wanted to do, nothing that truly needs to be done would ever get done. Who would take the garbage out? Seriously? Who would do the things that nobody wants to do? That is the question. That is the fear. Humans believe that, left to their own devices, people would not do what needs to be done to keep life going. That fear is unfounded. Humans who would be discovered are pretty wonderful beings. And in a community where there were no rules, no regulations, and no requirements, there would still be plenty of people who would do the things that need to be done. In fact, there would be very few who would not, for they would be uncomfortable being known as non-contributors. And that is what would change if there were no rules, regulations, or requirements. What would change is not what is being done, but why it is being done. The why of doing would be altered. Instead of doing things because they are told they must, humans would do what they do because they choose to, as an expression of who they are. This is, in truth, the only reason to do anything. But it reverses the entire doing-being paradigm. The way humans have constructed the paradigm, one does something, and then one is something. Under the new paradigm, one is something, and then one does something. One is happy, and then one does what a happy person does. One is responsible, and then one does what a responsible person does. One is kind, and then one does what a kind person does. One does not do responsible things in order to be responsible. One does not do kind things in order to be kind. This only leads to resentment. After all I've done, because it assumes that all the doing will be rewarded. And that is precisely what you have deemed the purpose of heaven. Heaven has been held out as your eternal reward for all the things you have done while on earth, and for not doing the things you were not supposed to do. So you've decided that there must also be a place for people who have not done good things, or have done things they were not supposed to do. You've called this place hell. I come to tell you this, there is no such place as hell. Hell is a state of being. It is the experience of separation from God, an imagining that you are separate from your very self and cannot be reunited. Hell is forever trying to find yourself. What you have called heaven, too, is a state of being. It is the experience of oneness, the ecstasy of reunification with all that is. It is the knowing of the true self. There are no requirements for heaven. That is because heaven is not a place that you get to. It is a place that you are in, always. Yet you can be in heaven, oneness with all, and not know it. Indeed, most of you are. This can be changed, but not by something you are doing. It can only be changed by something that you are being. This is what is meant by, there is nothing you have to do. There's nothing to do but be. And there is nothing to be but one. The amazing thing is that when you are being one with everything, you wind up doing all the things you thought you had to do in order to receive the reward you thought you had to work so hard to receive. It becomes your natural will to do to and for others only those things that you would do to and for yourself. And you would not do to others what you would not want done to you. When you are being one, you are realizing, that is, making real, the idea that there is no other. Yet even being one is not required. You cannot be required to be what you already are. If you have blue eyes, nobody can make you have blue eyes. If you are 6 feet tall, no one can force you to be 6 feet tall. And if you are one with everything, you cannot be required to be. Therefore, there is no such thing as requirement. Requirement does not exist. Who would do the requiring? And of whom would it be required? There is only God. I am that I am. And there is nothing else that is. Use the illusion of requirement to notice that there can be nothing that is truly required. You cannot know and experience freedom from requirement if you have nothing but freedom from requirement. You will seek to imagine, therefore, that certain things are required of you. This you have done very well. You have created a God who demands perfection of you, and who requires you to come to him in only a certain way, through particular rituals, all of which are carefully prescribed. You must say the exact and perfect words, do the exact and perfect things. You must live in a particular way. Having created the illusion that such requirements exist in order to acquire my love, you are now beginning to experience the indescribable joy of knowing that none of this is necessary. You will notice this by observing that rewards often come to people on earth whether they do what they are supposed to do or not. The same is true of what you imagine your rewards to be in your afterlife. Yet your experience in the afterlife is not a reward, it is an outcome. It is the natural result of a natural process called life. When you become clear about this, you will understand free will at last. In that moment, you'll know that your true nature is freedom. You'll never again confuse love with requirement. For true love requires nothing. Always remember that. True love requires nothing.